Roland Unified District to order. Dr. Mitchell, would you call roll?
Sure. Angelina Pride?
Present.
David Malkin?
Present.
Donna Friedman?
Here.
Carrie Chen?
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp?
Here.
All board members are present.
Okay. Next, we need to adopt the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda?
No, none have been provided.
Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Thursday, August 10th, 2017, as provided?
I'll move. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Are there any comments on closed session, Dr. Mitchell?
No, none have been received.
Okay, we will go to closed session then at 4:34. Okay, we're going to return to open session at 6:04. And we'll be led in the flag salute by Mary Cassian from CSEA.
Thank you. Everybody can please stand.
Thank you. Okay, I have a report from closed session, which is as follows. During closed session, the Board of Education took the following action. On a motion by Angelina Pride and seconded by Donna Friedman, the Board of Education approved the appointment of Maria Descolar to the position of assistant principal effective August 11th, 2017. And the vote was as follows. Carrie Chen, yes. Lynn Ebenkamp, yes. Donna Friedman, yes. David Malcolm, yes. And And Angelina Pride, yes. Now we have board recognitions. We want to thank the California School Employees Association, better known to us as CSEA, members for providing the refreshment for tonight's board meeting. And we're going to start right out with a report from their group. We'll have a spotlight report, and several members will share this, I believe. Sharon will start us out. Okay. We'll have a team. We'll do a tag team, right?
He's actually doing most of the presentation.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. Make a bunch of noise here. Okay. Good evening, Board of Education, Superintendent Mitchell, guests in the audience and cabinet. Reggie Robertson is our chapter public relations officer, and he's going to be giving a report. I'll be helping by using the clicker to go through the pictures that we have. But as you know, we participated in the ACE program, and I am in receipt of our Focus magazine. So I have several copies here I'd like to share with everybody. And so I told everybody, anytime anybody asked me anything, I told them, yes, I'm from Roland 133, and we're an ACE chapter. So I told everybody about us. And we were at conference last week in Las Vegas, and I'll tell you, we worked hard. Generally, we started at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we would go till 10 o'clock at night. One day, it was at 8 o'clock in the morning till 10 at night. So I had to come home and recover. And I went into the other day. David tweeted out a message about our students and their parents participating, as well as a significant other possibly. And I just wanted to share that. That is so true, because I want everybody to keep in mind that our employees here, many of them are parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, guardians. And I thought about that because on Monday, I drove to Arizona on Sunday after coming home on Saturday from Vegas, because my granddaughter started kindergarten, and so I wanted to be there to see her. So I'm a grandmother, and I'm a significant other to my granddaughter, so I was very happy to be there. And she reported that she loves school, so I was very happy to hear that. So I'm going to pass these around. There's many, so I'd like to get as many as I can to people who participated. Alex and Dennis also, even though you weren't able to be with us that day. Sure. Thank you. And I think you'll need more. Just let me know, and I'll get some more. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to, Reggie, I'm going to turn this over to Reggie for a report. And like I said, I'll be clicking through the pictures.
Okay. Well, first, let's put this up. It's a little too short for me. Okay. Hello, my name is Reginald Robertson. And first, I'd like to thank the board, Ms. Mitchell, and everyone here who came out tonight. Thank you for coming, giving the CSCA this opportunity to speak to you about, update you on what's going on in CSCA. Tonight, I would like to talk to you about shine a spotlight on our building services as well as transportation. Now, if you ask anyone in building services, they will tell you that they are the foundation of the district. If you ask anyone in transportation, they would differ. But that being said, each one of them plays an integral part in how we get ready for the next school year. We spend a lot of time, for as far as building services is concerned, they go out and they make sure that our campuses are ready for the next school year, ensuring that our students would be safe and have grounds that they can be proud of to say that they're a part of the district. They make sure that we have new doors in our buildings, paint the buildings. They also go out and do landscaping so that when the children go back to school, they can see how, have a sense of pride about what they're doing and where they are as they're learning. Also, they've taken an opportunity to come down to buildings, to the district office and help run wiring for backup batteries just in case that we have a power outage and that we want to lose internet or phone lines so we can keep communicating with our parents, our students, and each site. Now, when you talk about transportation, that's near and dear to my heart, and I would like to tell you, as a bus driver, we do remarkable things every day. Each day we come in, we try to figure out how can we get our students to and from school safely, and we want to ensure good customer service with the parents as well, and with the teachers and principals. For example, this summer, we had several classes on trying to bring in new drivers. Now, some of those drivers will remain within our area and with Roland, but the skills that they received from our training may end up taking some of them out of the district, and those districts will get the benefit of a well-trained driver. We've also had brought in some experienced drivers to help make things safer and stronger. Our trainer, Mr. Curtis. No, that's our secretary. But that's not Mr. Curtis. That's not him either. That's definitely not him. That's not Curtis.
We'll have to go back here in a minute.
Well, that's me. That's always that. Okay, there's
so
Curtis.
Let's go back to Reggie.
Well, that's me. One of the things we also, well, since you were on me, I was going to talk about me. I like me.
Okay, can we go back?
Thank you. Okay. Right there, we were taking care of all our mandatory training. I'm proud to say we had it all done in one day, with the exception of maybe one driver who we had to later on have them take their test. But we were able to get it done in a timely fashion with the help of technology by providing tablets for us so we can get it done in one spot. So we were able to get all of that done as well as have drivers bid on their routes. So come Monday, everyone is ready to go. Maybe on the buses, everyone has the opportunity to test drive their routes and make any necessary corrections before the day begins. I can go move on to Mr. Curtis.
Okay.
Thank you. And there's Mr. Curtis instructing one of our drivers on how to do a proper pre-trip. And if any of you ever had the opportunity to observe a pre-trip, you will know that it takes a little bit of time and it's a very important part of what we do. Because before we leave the yard, we have to ensure that every part on the bus is working properly. Sometimes that doesn't happen, and we have an incident where a piece of the bus is not working properly, then that bus is going to be put down. Because we have such great technicians that are working on our buses, it usually takes them about a couple of minutes to get another bus ready to go and out on the streets. So we don't lose time getting our students to school on time so they won't miss the opportunity to learn.
Slide.
Okay. Well, that's building services. They only had one picture for us, but, I mean, they did a great job digging a hole. must say. They did a wonderful job. Look at there. But other than that, I think each department deserves our respect and gratitude for the work that they do every time, not just over the summer, but throughout the year. And CSEA would be proud to have you guys whenever you pass by a school bus driver or tech, one of our building service guys. Tip your hat. Say thank you. Give them a smile. Let them know that their efforts are appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll move on to the superintendent's report.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I will echo those comments that Reggie has made in terms of the work that has taken place this summer. Our CSEA team has worked tirelessly to prepare our schools for our students' return on Monday. And so even though there was only one picture of, as Reggie says, digging a hole, they have been working very, very hard, making sure that our schools are ready from a safety perspective, an aesthetics perspective. That happened to be a picture at Santana, which looks significantly different today than it did in that picture. It's quite beautiful. So if you have the opportunity to stop by, please do so. I wanted to share that on Tuesday we welcomed back our certificated staff. So on Tuesday they came back to work to prepare and begin the 17-18 school year. And so they worked at their school sites with their staff to have their staff meetings and so forth. Yesterday was a full professional development day led by our principals at the local sites. And then today was our district-wide kickoff and our district-wide welcome back, which was pretty fun. We had a good time. So it was really exciting to see all of our employees, all of our certificated employees together. And then I'm also pleased to say that on the 18th of August, which is Friday, is our classified kickoff and welcome back. So we have two different sessions for our classified employees. And then last but certainly not least, I wanted to share with you that our 2017 to 2020 LCAP, which was approved by the board on June 13, 2017, was submitted to LACO, to Los Angeles County Office of Education, and they have reviewed the document and gotten back to us. They've made a few recommendations for minor corrections, which are not substantial and do not affect our district's adopted budget. So we expect to receive written approval prior to the August 15th deadline. That's it for me.
Thank you. Starting next month, we'll have a lot of reports probably. Okay, next item is Nutrition Services Program Update. I think Mrs. Davila is going to come and give us a report on the Nutrition Services Department and let us know what's going on with the programs.
Good evening. I'm happy to be here to represent Nutrition Services and to share information updates on the child nutrition programs. In this presentation, I'll be providing updates on the non-pricing universal breakfast pilot, net cash resources, and the department's spending plan, and information on updates in policies and regulations within the child nutrition program. There will be an opportunity for questions at the end of the presentation. Nutrition Services supports the vision of the district and expects and accepts nothing short of excellence. We work to support academic achievement by providing nutritious, balanced meals to students. We support ongoing education for our team members and provide frequent opportunities for training to Nutrition Services staff, all in an effort to provide excellent service to students and their families. Nutrition education and marketing is key when encouraging anyone to consume healthy foods, and we strive to promote healthy eating practices starting at a young age. In addition, we collect student feedback on various food items by piloting new foods at various school sites and among different grade levels. Student feedback allows us to serve food items that are more visually appealing and tasty while still working within the restrictive dietary requirements set forth by the USDA. Nutrition Services operates a national school lunch and school breakfast programs. In addition, we host seamless summer meals during the summer months when summer programs are in session. We operate the after-school snack program at 10 school sites. We have a small catering program and vend beverages to students outside of the meal program, which is considered a la carte vending. Now I'll present some updates on the non-pricing or universal breakfast pilot program. Non-pricing breakfast was piloted 4 months ago at four Roland schools. It was piloted for 4 months at four Roland schools. Hurley Elementary, Via Corda Elementary, Giano Intermediate, and Santana High. As part of the pilot, all students enrolled at these schools were eligible to receive one breakfast meal per day at no charge, regardless of meal eligibility. This table shows average participation both before and during the pilot. We see that Via Corda experienced the greatest increase in meal counts, likely because of second chance breakfast, which offers students a second chance to eat breakfast in addition to early morning breakfast. Second chance breakfast is normally served during morning recess or break. Second chance breakfast was implemented during the second week of the pilot at Via Corda for 4th, 5th, and 6th grades. Giano experienced the next highest average. This is a site where there was the greatest increase in the number of paid student participation, whereas in the other pilot sites, the greater increase was among the free and reduced eligibility students. At Santana, we see a negative number. The pilot began near the start of the new semester, and we found that this was a time when students at this site were transferring to other schools within the district. Also, we found that breakfast participation at Santana was already higher than average participation at other school sites, where average breakfast participation at most schools ranges between 20 to 30% of enrollment. Santana's average breakfast participation was at 50% before the pilot. The pilot of non-pricing breakfast included schools with higher percentages of students that were eligible for free and reduced price meals. So we found an increase in participation among students eligible for free or reduced price meals. Among these schools, those with slightly higher percentages of paid eligibility students showed an increase in the number of paid eligibility student participation. In addition, we found that despite offering breakfast at no cost, students still had a hard time getting to school in enough time to participate in the early morning breakfast. Another observation was that second chance breakfast had a positive impact on breakfast participation. Most schools in the district offer students the opportunity to eat breakfast during early morning breakfast, which is 20 to 30 minutes before the start of the instructional day. Second chance breakfast offered another opportunity for students to participate in breakfast during recess or morning break. Two of the four pilot schools were already offering second chance breakfast prior to the pilot, and as mentioned, Via Corda implemented second chance breakfast with three grade levels during the second week of the pilot. Nutrition Services has determined that the next step with this program are to continue the pilot at the four school sites through the 2017-2018 school year in order to gather better data representing trends for an entire school year. Also, child nutrition programs have received information on changes in regulations for offering non-pricing breakfast that could change program funding. These changes include allowability of the cafeteria fund to cover the cost of paid student meals, as well as the cost of additional supervision necessary to monitor students during meal service. We will continue to monitor program regulations in this area and also consider alternate meal programs that could include non-pricing breakfast. When looking at second chance breakfast, we found that some of the factors that impacted student participation in early morning breakfast were no longer barriers to participation when second chance breakfast was implemented. Offering non-pricing breakfast along with second chance breakfast had a greater impact for students than when offering non-pricing breakfast alone. Nutrition Services looks forward to working with schools that are able to offer second chance breakfast. We are grateful for the opportunity to pilot a non-pricing breakfast for students. Next, I'll be presenting information on net cash resources and the Nutrition Services Department spending plan. Child nutrition programs receive their revenue through meal reimbursement, both federal and state for most programs. In addition, non-program meals, which include adult meals, catering, and a la carte items, contribute to the nonprofit school food service account. All funds must be deposited into the nonprofit school food service account. School food service programs must work toward breaking even each school year and avoid accumulation of excess funds in the account. Net cash resources is defined as all monies that are available to or have accrued to the program's nonprofit school food service at any given time. In the event that net cash resources exceed 3 months' average expenditures for the program's nonprofit school food service, the state agency may require the school food authority to comply with various guidelines in order to spend down funds, including implementation of a spending plan. During the administrative review of the school meal program conducted in April 2014, the cafeteria fund was determined to have excess net cash resources. For fiscal year ending in 2013, net cash resources exceeded the maximum limit of 3 months' average operating expenditures. The Nutrition Services Department, in cooperation with the California Department of Education, developed a spending plan that was approved by the state and implemented in March 2015. The spending plan includes items needed by the department that are determined by the Department of Education, or CDE, as allowable expenditures for the cafeteria fund. This was a plan to spend down excess funds. The spending plan included allowable expenditures that are to be used solely by the Nutrition Services Department, such as cooking and transport equipment, department vehicles, cleaning equipment, technology equipment including both hardware and software, and simple renovations to the central and satellite kitchens that fall within the scope of allowable expenses. Items not allowed on the spending plan but used to spend down plans were improvements in student menu items such as cleaner label whole muscle proteins and an increased variety of fresh fruit and vegetable options at all school sites. Nutrition services staff was increased beginning in 2014, mainly at elementary school kitchens to assist with breakfast meal service. Efforts were made to purchase items on the spending plan while still following proper program and district procurement procedures. We found that in the spending process, full kitchen renovations that included construction were a shared cost between the general budget and the cafeteria fund, as construction work is considered unallowable for the cafeteria fund alone. For example, when new equipment such as a dish machine is purchased, we need to make sure that the electrical drains and pipes can support it. If not, this becomes a responsibility of both nutrition services and the general fund. Despite the setbacks that come along with unallowable expenses, Nutrition Services has been successful in improving how we serve students. We purchased several new hot transport cabinets that carry food to the school site kitchens while maintaining quality and proper food temperature. We were able to update the Northam Elementary kitchen with support from the Building Services Department. In October 2016, a temperature monitoring system was installed on all refrigeration units at the food center and at all site kitchens. With this system, we can monitor temperatures and are alerted to units going out of temperature. We can reduce food waste by monitoring the equipment before the units fail. The most recent update was to the department webpage. We recently launched the department's webpage that includes our monthly menus, nutrient information for the items we serve, and identifies possible food allergens. The website also has a feature that will allow students to rate particular food items. It also has information that promotes wellness by providing brief articles, and health and wellness for students and families is included. The webpage is located at www.rolandnutrition.org. We're very excited about this. Finally, a quick review of policy and regulation changes within the school child nutrition programs. Child nutrition programs receive both federal and state reimbursement, and this comes with stringent policies and regulations set forth by both the USDA and the California Department of Education. Only some of the existing regulations are listed here and include those as part of student meal eligibility determination, and that's the meal application process. Verification of meal eligibility is also completed annually every October. Stringent meal guidelines recently overhauled beginning in 2012 as a result of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act of 2010 continue to change annually. We monitor daily meal counts and claims following the proper procedures set forth by both the USDA and the CDE. All food service programs must have specific food safety plans with annual training for all food service staff. Student wellness is a component of the child nutrition program, but the responsibility of the entire district. It includes guidance in the areas of nutrition education and physical activity and requires monitoring of components of the policy, including food sold and served to students during the school day. We continue to train our team in the areas of civil rights, guidance regarding allowable expenses for the cafeteria fund, proper procurement of food, supplies, and services, and professional standards or ongoing education for all nutrition services staff. Effective July 1st, all school food service programs must have a procurement plan and code of conduct in place. This plan guides staff responsible for the procurement or purchase of goods and services on the proper way to go about making these purchases. The code of conduct is a guide of written standards of conduct to cover potential personal and organizational conflicts of interest. The written standards must govern the actions of the agency, employees, and all others who engage in the selection, award, and administration of contracts funded by federal awards. All food service programs operating the National School Lunch and the School Breakfast Program must develop a meal charge procedure to be set in place by July 1, 2017. The purpose of this procedure is to maintain the financial integrity of the meal program while still providing adequate nutrition to students and to minimize stigmatization. This procedure includes information on meal charges and the use of alternate meals. A letter has been prepared that will be distributed to all district households regarding the meal charge policy in order to ensure that all families are aware of the procedure. The student wellness or local school wellness policy is a written document that guides a school district's efforts to establish a school environment that promotes student health, well-being, and ability to learn. Newest regulations require that specific and measurable goals be set for nutrition promotion and education, physical activity, and other school-based activities that promote student wellness. It also must now include information on marketing healthy food options, as well as on standards for all foods and beverages provided, not just sold to students. School districts must assess the wellness policy every 3 years at minimum. Finally, school food service programs must request permission from the California Department of Education for all anticipated expenditures of $5,000 or more, or if there's a question of whether cafeteria funds may be used for specific expenses. Again, we thank the board for the opportunity to pilot non-pricing breakfast. We appreciate your support and patience with the ongoing changes within the child nutrition program and with the department's spending plan. We've reached the end of the presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Mrs. Pride?
Thank you for the presentation. Very informative, some really good information for us. Just two questions. Yes. First of all, with the website, are parents able to put money on their students' account through the website at this time?
That's not part of it yet. Okay. We still have My School Bucks where they can deposit.
Okay, yes. Thank you. And then my other question was, I recently was talking to a PTA parent, and they had brought up an issue of the food sales, how there was some sort of conflict or something. Is that what it's called?
Right. It's Smart Snacks in School was another law passed by the USDA. Though the CDE, California has more stringent rules. So those have been in place since 2014, but they've become more stringent. And it's guidance on what can be sold or served to students during the school day.
So does this mean that the PTAs and PTOs can no longer do the food sales for fundraisers that they used to do, or is there just more rules and regulations that they have to comply with?
They can do food sales, but nutrition services is we have to monitor what they're serving, so they have to submit a food label showing food specifications and an ingredient list, and then those documents need to be kept on file.
So candy's out.
Yeah. Yes.
The other is, so for fundraising purposes like candy and some of those things, yes, that's out from the nutrition. And then when it also comes to competitive food sales, so if they're selling lunch items at the same time we're selling lunch, so there's two different things that are taking place. And I recently was working with David Lopez, who's our RCPTA president, about having Maria come and present to the PTA president so that they understand where it's coming from, that it's not an individual school site decision. It's a much broader perspective.
Because I know some are concerned because they've already signed agreements to have different things, and they hadn't heard anything, or it wasn't clear. And so now they're concerned that they're going to lose money because they've put deposits down on, you know, these fundraisers.
So we shared some of this information with our principals in late July in terms of what all of the new rules and laws were. And our principals still have questions as they are the liaison back with PTA. So I think bringing everybody together and particularly having Maria come to meet with PTA presidents, and as we are implementing all the new rules, we'll have to troubleshoot and see how we can best navigate what's already in place to make sure we maintain compliance.
Can we see about getting some training done for them sooner rather
yeah.
than later?
Yeah, that's what I talked to David about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Donna?
Thank you for a great presentation. You said 20 to 30% of the students only have breakfast before the pilot. How much percent did it go up with the 129 students?
So let me just go through. Currently, 20 to 30% participate. So Santana remained the same at about 50%, and it varied among school sites. So currently, it's still between 20 to 30%.
Okay.
We saw Via Corta go up from 20 to 42% with Second Chance Breakfast.
Okay. And then break even means the district isn't really having to pay for this program?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you if it's considered like successful, why aren't we expanding it to other schools?
So the break even was pertained to the nonprofit school food service account. So our account, we're supposed to break even. We're not to make a profit. The success of Second Chance Breakfast or non-pricing breakfast. A couple things. In the time that the pilot occurred and toward early June, we received information that CD was providing alternate guidance on how non-pricing breakfast could be funded. And so that kind of changed how we were looking things. And so districts were being alerted on how what programs we can use for non-pricing breakfast. So we decided to continue with the four pilot also to gather information, but also to make sure that we move forward properly with the correct program.
Okay, thank you.
I understand our district has a large number of homeless kids. I think these are the group they need this move will be beneficial to the from the program like this. How we can help them or from this program or how or among these we offer this only to four schools, and how many of them do we have number are any homeless kids benefit from this or how?
Yes, we have specific categories for our free reduced price meal eligibility. And so that includes students who are considered foster or homeless. And so they automatically qualify for free reduced meal price benefits for breakfast and lunch.
Mr. Chen, I think it's also important to recognize that we serve breakfast at all of our schools but one,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So all of our schools have a breakfast program. There are four that are piloting the universal non-pricing breakfast program. But if you are eligible for free or reduced mm-hmm. meals, you have an option for free breakfast at our schools.
You know,
right. Yeah.
Not necessary.
Not just those four. Right. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Melvin?
I want to first thank Nutrition Services for allowing me to work in the kitchen a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. It was an experience, and it helped me understand more what it involves to provide these meals to these students every day. I was at Hurley Elementary. I understand Hurley Elementary doesn't have a second chance breakfast.
Right.
Mainly because you need a two-hour window between the latest morning and the earliest afternoon.
Yes.
But what I did notice were that some of the older students, the fifth graders, the sixth graders, that would be helping the younger brothers and sisters would come late and would miss breakfast. And they're the ones that would come in at break or whatever to try to get a second chance breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And weren't, you know, because of the generosity of the staff there, they were able to get it. But that normally they would not get that. Mm-hmm. But that, what would it involve to get Hurley time schedule flexed so it could get a second chance breakfast? Is that something that could be done?
So we are working with our principals in terms of implementing second chance breakfast at as many schools as possible. At this current time, at this moment, with opening of school on Monday, we are not expanding the number of schools offering second chance breakfast due to significant complexities with the schedule, as we have music schedules and we have PE schedules and we have recess schedules, et cetera, as well as the requirements from Nutrition Services. So it is it's something that Maria has done an excellent job with her staff, working with our principals to really help analyze the Bell schedule and where are some of those flexibilities. She's designed a matrix so that as to who's doing it and when and what types of modifications might need to be able to be made to make this possible for students. But as of Monday, we're not increasing, but that's not something that we believe is permanent through the whole school year. The other part is supervision. So we're looking at supervision as well as Bell schedules and being able to accommodate this interest. So our schools have an interest, our community has an interest, I believe our board has an interest in second chance breakfast. It's just getting the stars to align to make sure that that can happen.
Okay, because I think Hurley has the highest percentage of McKinney-Vento students in the district. Mm-hmm. So that would really be appropriate for them to have that second chance. The other thing that you didn't touch on in here is you mentioned meal eligibility and determination. When you have the universal, I understand that they only have to fill out the paperwork once every 2 or 3 years rather than every year. And one of our board meetings, I guess it's been about 6 months or might be longer, there was a presentation that was given on what you're going to do in nutritional services to collect unpaid fees that families owed. And there was a series of phone calls, letters, et cetera. When you have the universal, wouldn't that cut down or eliminate that paperwork and office work to become a bill collector?
So with universal breakfast, you don't collect meal applications, but we would have to continue to do so for lunch.
Okay.
There are other programs that we're looking into, such as provisions 2 and 3, as well as community eligibility provision. Those have differences in how we collect meal applications, but then that has an impact on the district as well. And so we're trying to work with the district and making sure that we're not putting that load on them. But free breakfast, non-pricing breakfast is a program where we see that kind of dissipating, and we're being encouraged to try other programs such as provision programs or community eligibility to be able to offer non-pricing breakfast.
And if somebody hasn't paid or loaded their card and they come in line, are they given a alternative meal since they don't have money on their card?
Currently, yes. We extend a credit in grade levels K-8. And then once they reach that maximum credit limit, we offer them a meal. We continue to offer them a courtesy meal.
And what's the courtesy meal?
It's a sandwich, which is a second entree offered to all students, all side items, and a trip to the salad bar and milk.
Any other questions, Mr. Malkin? I have a couple. On slide 7, the one that you have the four schools listed, Do any of those numbers tell us the students that are participating that are not free and reduced?
No, but I have that information with me here. So when we look at Via Corta, for example, where we implemented second chance breakfast, prior to the pilot, we had one paid student average per day participating. And during the pilot, six paid students participated each day. All the schools selected for the pilot have a very high free reduced meal eligibility. So we would see that, for example, Giano, whose meal eligibility is at about 90%, had a higher increased paid participation. So before the pilot, an average of seven students participated in breakfast each day, and after was 20, and that was mainly during their second chance. So we would say that the higher the free reduced, the higher the number of free reduced participation, higher paid would be higher paid student participation.
I think I've got it. On slide 14, you talked about some component in there was decreasing the food waste. And how do you measure that? How much food is wasted before and now?
So this temperature monitoring system, we receive alerts all night. And so we monitor those temperatures to make sure those units stay at a good temp. And if they don't, we return to the kitchen and we load it and send it back. So that's how we take care of our food so it doesn't go bad.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't thinking along those lines. I am concerned about food waste, and I wonder how it's going with the student meals. The throwaways, the foods that they're not opening at all, but still has to be thrown out. There was some talk about trying to see if they could go to homeless centers or recycle some way. Have we done anything along those lines?
Yes, we have. After our last conversation, I looked into different types of agreements on food donation agreements. And was working with our Family Resource Center to see if they had the ability to take some of our non-perishable foods. Of course, foods that are perishable, hot foods, we can't donate. That has to be discarded. So I worked with the director there, and we drafted an agreement. And it was reviewed by risk management at the time. And now it's with our insurance brokerage consultant, Keenan. And they will be reviewing that contract as well.
So, say a child throws away milk that hasn't been opened. Can that be retrieved out of the trash? And
There are specific guidelines for perishable food.
That's what bothers
and
me.
And so what we have is we've implemented goodie boxes. And those went away for a while because the health department did not want those around. But we brought them back towards the end of last school year. And so we keep ice at the bottom. And the rule is we have to make sure that our staff monitors what's put in there. So if a child puts milk in that goodie box on ice, we immediately have to put it back in refrigeration. So, but if we're not sure, because it gets pretty busy, those items are discarded. But our staff is pretty good about making sure we're saving those items.
Okay, thank you.
What I noticed when I was working the food line were that the students were very selective on what they did select. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much consumed everything they selected. Yeah. Any food that was left over was food that was still on the tray line that wasn't selected. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see, not very many, if any at all, students taking more food than they could actually eat. Pretty much they consumed everything that they selected. What I did notice, though, is that the kitchen, when I was working that day, had some donations. They had some cereal donations and some applesauce donations that weren't on the menu that they offered to the students that they wanted those in addition to the other selections. And those were very popular.
Mm-hmm. So we guide our staff, and it's kind of, outside our, because we were supposed to do a nutrient analysis of all the food we serve. But, you know, our priority is we don't want food waste. So we allow our staff to kind of, if they don't use it the day before, like fresh fruit, they can, that's an extra on the menu for the following day because we don't want food to go in the trash.
Thank you, Mrs. Davila.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have written requests to address the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended further or limited by a vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allowed for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. Dr. Mitchell, do we have? We have three comments. Mr. Humphreys?
Okay, as always, thank you for all the good things you do. We must acknowledge the only way we can move forward is to be honest about our past. There are those of you who do not want to reconcile the past and refuse to acknowledge that the past is how we got to the present. Ms. Bright, in the transparency discussion, refused to accept that transparency is a core value which affects trust, which Mr. Flores has noted has been lost. Mr. Malcolms trivialized the term trust as a buzzword, which Webster says is an important sounding, usually technical word or phrase with only a little meaning used to chiefly impress laymen. Really? Okay. And how about student-centered focus, if you want to get into a buzzword? All members state that transparency is different meaning to different persons, easily said about all the core values. But Mr. Chin jumps up and saves the day. He Googled transparency and found it to be essential. How refreshing was that? He states that no district has it as a core value, and I say, why not be a leader in the 21st century? Now, I can't thank Ms. Ebenkamp enough with the cathartic moment, essentially, that the district was in a state of bedlam before Superintendent Mitchell's arrival with Supervisors Ott and Frutos in charge, with board members Judy Nye, Dr. Gil Garcia, Robert Hidalgo, Heidi Gallegos, and Kerry Chun. Also, it seemed to imply that the Bond Oversight Committee was a sham, which at one time had three PhDs on it with Dr. Ted Ebenkamp, Dr. Kimo Morris, and Dr. Nimish Ladwa. Ms. Ebenkamp also notes that the district was graciously transparent in allowing the public to be present at the board meetings and bond oversight committee meetings, make comments, and video record, which is, in fact, is guaranteed by law. Last but not least, Ms. Ebenkamp notes that this district cannot do video recording because we're too small, and we just don't have the reason, whatever. And, in fact, Roland Unified School District has approximately 13,800 enrollees. Azusa Unified, which is implementing its video streaming of its board and so forth, has 9,500. And in my impression, one word sums it up, shameful. And Mr. Chen knows what Bu Yao Lian means. And as to the rejection of the 2008 FACMAT report is cause and effect, so as to where we are today. And once again, the only way we can move forward is if we are honest about our past. Thank you.
Next speaker, Yvonne Martini. And team.
Good evening, President Ebenkamp, members of the board, Superintendent Mitchell, cabinet members. My name is Yvonne Martini. I'm a TK teacher at Hollingworth. I'd like to introduce Carol Noren, a TK teacher at Oswald, Jennifer Austin, a TK teacher from Shellen, and Susie Brett, a TK teacher from Jellick. And the others who couldn't make it are with us in spirit. I'm speaking specifically to the leadership of Roland Unified School District with a grateful heart. We stand before you truly thankful because you provided a three-hour aid for a TK class of 20 or more students. This action shows a deep commitment that Roland Unified has for its youngest learners, some of whom turn 5 on March 31st. And a TK aid will support students cognitively, physically, social, emotionally, but most of all, you have provided the safety that we feel so confident going into our new school year, feeling confident that our kids are going to be well taken care of, safe, And we are so grateful. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you. Next speaker is Shay Lohman.
Well, good evening. Good morning from good evening. I'd like to begin by congratulating Dr. Mitchell on another inspiring welcome back experience this morning. I know myself and my colleagues left this event feeling energized and ready to begin the year. The Association of Roland Educators wishes the Roland family a fantastic start to the 2017-18 school year. We are all very excited at the opportunity to provide an increasingly engaging and innovative learning environment for our students. As a union, we are very proud of the work that we have accomplished together the past few years. We have increased compensation for our members and worked together with management to create stronger contract language that has improved working and learning conditions across the district. However, our ability to continue to advocate for our members as a union is in jeopardy. This year is an extremely important year for the future of our union and public sector unions, such as CSCA, all across the nation. It is almost certain that the United States Supreme Court will hear the case Janice v. AFSCME this spring. It is widely predicted that the court will rule against the union in this case, and in doing so will make the collection of fair share fees unconstitutional. Fair share fees are mandatory fees that all bargaining unit members pay, even if the person chooses not to be an official member of the union. In essence, they are paying their fair share of the cost of bargaining and maintaining a contract. In short, by next summer, is it extremely likely that our employees will have a right to cease being a member of ARE? We are asking them to think about the long-term consequences of this decision. If enough of our members leave the union, we will simply not be able to continue offering the same level of services and advocacy. Let me take a moment to remind us of some of the accomplishments that the union movement in the United States has accomplished over the years. Weekends and lunch breaks, paid vacation, FMLA, sick leave, Social Security, minimum wage, the eight-hour workday, overtime pay, child labor laws, Occupational Safety and Health Act, 40-hour work week, workers' compensation, unemployment insurance, pensions, workplace safety standards, employer health care insurance, collective bargaining rights, wrongful termination laws, age discrimination laws, whistleblower protection laws, Employee Polygraph Protection Act, Veterans Employment and Training Services, sexual harassment laws, Americans with Disabilities Act, holiday pay, privacy rights, pregnancy and parental leave, military leave, the right to strike, high-quality goods and services, and free and universal public education for all children. Throughout the year, we'll be engaging every one of our members in explaining the importance of having strong union values. Hopefully, the community and the management of RUSD have seen how the union can be a positive influence for change and will also support union values. Again, we look forward to an amazing year here in Roland Unified. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have a public hearing. We will hold a public hearing regarding the Personnel Commissioner vacancy to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the intention to accept applications, interview, and appoint a Personnel Commissioner. We're going to open the public hearing at 6:57. Are there any comments that anybody wants to come up and make or questions? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing at 6:57 and 30 seconds, right? Okay. Discussion items. We have a memorandum of understanding between Roland Unified School District and the Mount San Antonio Regional Consortium. May I have a motion to approve this memorandum of understanding between Mount San Antonio Consortium for Adult Education and the Roland Unified School District for the period of August 10th, 2017 through June 30th of 2018. Moved by Mrs. Friedman. Can I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Chen. Discussion? Take the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried, 5-0. Oops, sorry. Abstentions? Recusals?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I recuse myself because that's my employer and I'm part of the AB 104 block grant.
I wrote it on my paper and forgot. Sorry. So we have 4 in favor 0 no's, and 1 recusal. Next item is our consent calendar. I'm sorry, pupil personnel. I need a motion to readmit student number 16-1705 to the Roland Unified School District effective August 11th of 2017 with placement at Nogales High School. Mrs. Friedman gave the motion. Mr. Chen seconded it. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next is the consent calendar. No items were pulled for discussion. So may I have a motion to approve and ratify items on the consent calendar?
I make a motion. I'll second.
Okay. Moved by Mrs. Pride and seconded by Mrs. Friedman. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we move to our conference section. We'll be having a notice of an upcoming public hearing regarding sufficiency of instructional materials on September 14th of 2017. The board resolution will then be forwarded to the county office. There's no vote on this, just an announcement so the public is aware. We'll move on to board member comments, and we'll start tonight with Mrs. Pride.
Thank you. This will be very brief. I would like to thank Building Services and Transportation for all their hard work, as always, and thank you for your report tonight. I also want to thank CSEA for all that they do and for all your hard work and support of the students in our district. Also, Nutrition Services, again, thank you. Very informative report. I appreciate it. I think it gave us a lot of insight on what's going on with Nutrition Services. National Night Out turned into National Rain Night Out. At least at Shadow Oak Park. We had several rain bursts and lots of thunder. And a poor lady fell walking up there, so I ended up driving her home. That was my national night out. But it's still a nice event in our communities. Dr. Mitchell and staff, good job on the welcome back today. I had also heard very positive feedback about the event this morning. And just wish all of you a fantastic school year, and I look forward to all of the exciting things that are going to happen this year. Thank you.
Mr. Malkin?
I would be remiss if I didn't tag on for transportation and mention the big yellow bus for LA County Fair that we do have. You can make a donation to the Big Yellow Bus Program, which enables our students to attend classes at the LA County Fair year-round. And that transportation is provided by our USD Transportation. And by the way, I think I washed your bus the other day. I hope the windows weren't streaked. The other thing is I just want to publicly thank Dr. Mitchell for the welcome back this morning. The cabinet, the support staff, it was phenomenal. It really was. And I think we're very fortunate to have a staff or a team that can put that on and do something like that for our employees. So I really appreciate that, and thank you. And lastly, when school gets out is when classified get to work. And I went to a couple of schools during the summer and saw the extensive work that was going on over at Hurley, for one, for example, Roland Elementary with the paving of the parking lot and restriping of Hurley and stuff. So your work is cut out for you, but it really shows. So thank you for your work during the summer. That's it.
Thank you. Mrs. Friedman?
First, CSEA, thank you so much for a great presentation, Sharon and Reggie. It was outstanding. I know all of you worked so hard. And the TK teachers, what a nice thing to do. You know, beginning of school teachers are working so hard to get their classrooms ready. I know what it's like after 36 years, and every minute is like, oh, I could do this and this, and your mind is even at home what you can do. And you guys took the time to come over to say thank you because we approved having AIDS, which is wonderful, and you deserve them. And thank you for taking the time. I hope you tell your colleagues that that was a really nice thing to do, and we're really happy at, to do that. Okay, now, oh, and thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Today was wonderful. The kickoff was outstanding. I don't know if anyone saw this, but 2017 Best of the Best, Reader's Choice, I had lunch with a friend of mine, and she said, look, you're the best school district in the world or whatever in the city. It's three newspapers. So I was like, yeah, how nice. I also got one, so I knew that already. let's see, I attended the VIP reception for the new mayor of Walnut, Mary Sue. And I also went to Walnut's National Night Out, which was rained out because the fire department said that there was lightning. So nobody was there, but she gave me a whole bunch of these to say that they're having the same people that were going to be there on October 7th. So you'll see some of these flyers over there. I attended on Monday the No Excuses University leadership meeting with the founder, Damon Lopez. He spoke to the staff at Telesis, and he was inspiring and outstanding, talking about No Excuses leadership for their meeting. I thought it was a program, but actually it's a belief and not a program, and it's a network of schools throughout all the states. And it's a really outstanding for the kids to do. I even brought the little paper that, and the teachers were supposed to write in these nine things. It's a choice to be a servant leader or choice to be present, choice to communicate with candor, a choice to crack the code of the naysayer, choose simplicity, choose to make laughing mandatory, choose to feed and be fed, choose to go all in, choose to create a culture that sustains momentum. It was outstanding, the things that he came up with, like, what are you going to change this year? Things have changed. He showed us a floppy disk and said, look, do you remember that? And he said, if you don't, get out of the room. But, of course, I remember using it. And so he's saying, you know, times change. And so you have to think it was outstanding. Yorbita now is a No Excuses University. I would hope that all our schools in our district would be a part of this, including all of our high schools also. It would be fantastic if we could start all of our students early in TK thinking that they're going to go to college, they're going to a trade school, something, so that they know for sure they're going to be doing something and be successful. I want to thank everyone who participated in preparing the schools for the first day of school and do an excellent job. The schools look beautiful and ready for our wonderful students. And after hearing Reggie, I want to say for all year long, there you go, for doing such a terrific job. Have an outstanding school year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll make my remark short because everybody else has talked. Oops, Carrie. I'm sorry. I thought I started with you, Carrie. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, I had last week I had an opportunity to representing the board, attend the national night out at the city of La Puente, and I met the city officials there and the city of industry captain. I thank them for their work to provide a safe environment for the our schools located within their city boundary, the safety environment for our student to study, to learn, and our employee to work. So they're very happy to see me be there because I'm the only one representing the board. Yeah. We had a very informative presentation tonight from the nutrition department, and we learned a lot from you. And the transportation in building services, and a good job. Thank you. Finally, and I'm very sorry I missed the fun this morning. And I wake up early, and I put on my shirt that I agree with my colleague to wear, but I get a phone call. I have to take care of some emergency business. So I'm welcome teachers, certificate employees. And apologize for missing the fun. I want to see the video. I don't see that. So yeah, I promise I won't miss the second one for the CSEA welcome. Thank you. And summer is over, so start school is going to start.
we are looking forward to.
Thank you. Okay, again, mine will be short. I just thought today was a wonderful event. Staff, Dr. Mitchell, and the administrative team that did all the work. I know Gina worked really hard on it. She's kind of an unsung hero with our district. We don't mention her name very often, but we do appreciate the work she does. It's gotten to be that our employees really look forward to our get-togethers that we have at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, and they're very meaningful. It gives them the understanding that they are appreciated, and we see the good things that are happening in Roland. We know we can do better, and we'll continue to do better, but we're getting there one step at a time. So I think that's probably enough for me to say. By the way, the National Night Out at the Roland Community Center, it did rain some, but then it let up, and it was well attended. A lot of people came. We had hot dogs, and I think Congressman Royce was there. It was nicely attended. So work hard this year. We're ready.
Can I?
Thank you. Yes.
Can I add one announcement?
Of course.
Yeah. On September 9th, the Roland Heights Chinese Association is going to have an annual event. And the board of the Chinese Association decided to honor the individuals and the organizations in our community for the community service. We're going to have the Community Service Award to the school district. The classified employee of the year and the certificate employee of the year and the administrative employee of the year. And also honor my colleague, Mr. and Mrs. Ebbingham and Mr. and Mr. Malcolm and some other individuals who contribute to the community. So the event is going to be September 9th and welcome everyone, and the location is going to be at the Roland Heights Community Center and starting from 6 o'clock. So, yeah, looking forward to see you to attend the event.
Thank you. May I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move.
Second?
I second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Meeting adjourned at 7:12.
Nobody wants that job, me.
Wow, see? Before sundown. Yeah, before sundown. Before sunset. Good job. Good job.
She's been president before. I feel okay. She's going to be a nice highlight. Mm-hmm.